Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial free uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. We've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so there's a ton of content to binge. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is Girls Next Level.
Hello, welcome back to Girls Next Level, a podcast. How's your day going? some traffic?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So Holly lives in a crazy, we record here at Holly's house. Uh-huh. I think you guys know that. And she lives in a crazy place, like up in the Hollywood Hills. And there's like really only one way to get here. And so when there's like a traffic snafu, or construction or something going on, today there was a detour. Just before I got to her house, there's a detour. So I only had like one little road to go. And then it's like, nope, detour. So I had to go way up into the mountains, like way up by the Hollywood sign around. And what's scary about it, you guys, is these are tiny little streets. Like they're not even supposed to be driven on anymore, I don't think, unless you live there.
Yeah, you're playing chicken with whoever's coming the other way.
Yeah, there's cars parked on one side, so there's only enough room for one car to get through, but it's twisty, windy little roads with like major cliffs on each side, and you can't tell when somebody's coming, and nobody knows. There's a rule. There's a driving rule, and you did learn this when you went to driving school, but nobody knows it. But the person coming up the hill has the right of way.
Nobody knows that.
Nobody knows it.
I can tell you by experience driving here, nobody knows that.
Well, I make sure they yield me because I'm going. I don't care if you think you're coming down or what. The person going up has the right of way. And I think that goes way back to olden car days when like it was really hard to make it up the hill. You're like, please make it up the hill. Please make it up the hill.
Oh, yeah. These streets are built for Model Ts.
Yeah. But when you're coming down, you have the momentum of coming down.
Totally.
But regardless, it's still the rule. When you're coming up the hill, you have the right of way. So when you're the one coming down the hill, move over into someone's driveway or behind the parked car or behind the garbage cans or whatever, and let the person coming up go. Because when everybody follows the rules, then it's clear and you're not like playing chicken trying to figure out who's going to go. And both of you start to go and then you're both stuck in the middle. But there's one part up there that's super scary. It's like you're coming around a corner. You can't see around the other side. There's just like a little tiny guardrail. There's only enough for one car. It's almost like a bridge, but it's not a bridge. And then there's like this huge drop off.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I'm like white knuckled, like going, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a lot. And what's extra annoying is that detour is because there's construction on one of the streets. And that construction has been going on for months. Like not construction, but like road work. Like they're digging up the roads.
Yeah.
It's been going on for months.
And the other day I was driving up here like in the middle of the afternoon, and it just got to the point where there was traffic going both ways on one of the roads, but it was just stuck. Like for some reason, neither of us could move. We were like blocking each other because somebody behind me wasn't going. And the car next to me going the opposite way, all of a sudden I see somebody waving. So I roll down my window and it's Addison Rae, who I've never met in person before. Like we've been mutuals on TikTok for a while. And she's like, hey, you know, we're sitting here, might as well chat. But she is, you guys, she's so, if you've ever wondered, she's so pretty, like even prettier than she is on camera or whatever, and so nice, and it was so cute.
Well, at least that made it worth it.
So it's like a cute little serendipitous moment.
But at least you had a good experience, because usually I'm looking at people and they're like, fuck, and they're yelling at me, and I'm like, oh, I didn't do it. Like, I don't know. Totally. And they're like honking their horns, even though nobody can go, and that's the people I usually get to deal with.
Oh, that's funny. I had another celebrity encounter, too. And this happened at Disneyland in the bathroom at Grand Californian. This was not the same bathroom story I told a couple weeks ago.
I was going to say, were they loitering at the sink?
No, it was not the sink loiterer. But it was Bebe Rexha. And she was asking me, like, we were the only ones in the bathroom. She's like, oh, how's the park out there? Because, like, I was leaving and her friend were coming in. It's like, it's good. It's not too busy. And it was just, like, it was weird because, like, I know who she is. So we just didn't, like, think to introduce each other. And she goes, oh, my name's Bebe. I do music. I'm like, I know who you are. I just thought that was so cute and humble.
That's funny. We were on a flight with her from London back to LA. And Nick's like, I think that's Bebe Rexha on our flight. And I was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, it could be. I don't know. I don't want to stare or anything like that. Yeah. And then when we were leaving, when we're all getting off the plane, you know, everybody stands up, stretches their legs, whatever. We're like, oh, no, it is. Because our phone case had like BR on it and stuff. Like everything was like initialed out. And we're like, oh, it is.
Yeah, she's very cute, very humble.
I didn't say hi to her or anything like that because I would just assume she doesn't know who I am.
I mean, she might have. I think she knew who I was.
I don't know.
At least we're just chatting like old friends.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
Or maybe she's just one of those people that's like that, you know?
Yeah. Some people are just good with that. I'm not, because I'm socially awkward, but.
See, I feel like I'm good with that, but I feel like a lot of people are socially awkward.
Yeah, I think so. Or just don't know what the other person would prefer. Like, would the other person prefer we just talk as if we know each other are? Or would the other person prefer if I'm like, oh, I know who you are? You know, like nobody knows.
Yeah.
No one knows the etiquette, and there is no established etiquette, really.
That's what I was just going to say. There's no etiquette for
LA probs.
All right.
Speaking of problems.
Yeah.
Today's episode might be my least favorite of the entire series.
Oh, I can see why.
Definitely the most embarrassing. And like, if I could have one deleted, it would either be this or Chocolate Vagina.
Mm. Okay, well, I'm so curious what your reasonings are for that.
I think I might not get into the bad. Well, the bad part is the latter half of this episode. So that's going to be in our next episode because y'all know takes us two episodes to get through one.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about mental health today, because as I was watching this episode, it just reminded me of like all the things I was going through mentally at that time. And even I had a weird moment watching this back, because as we'll talk about, the cold open is us at the circus. And like my thighs were so skinny and my face was so young that it just like shoved me off a cliff. I'm like, why can't I look like that now? And I got myself over that real quick, but it like put me in a mood already. Mm. And then I was just thinking about how you've never had any mental health problems, have you?
Well, I don't think that anybody goes through life without any mental health problems. But if you mean like, I don't think that I've ever been in severe depression that other people have experienced. That, don't get me wrong, I've been depressed.
Yeah.
And I get down often. I've been down recently because of rude comments that people write and stuff. But I don't think I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like I'm all emotional now just talking about it. So like, I think that I just say how I'm feeling and express my feelings, and then I can move on. I think people who can't do that, that's when like the mental health issues. I mean, I think that's just one aspect of why the mental health issues happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely one of those that like sits on things for a long time.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. But I still do talk about them to people, yeah, whoever will listen, whether it's my mom or Nick or you or whoever,
yeah,
like I'll vent about them. And I think that that's very helpful. That being said, it's not like I've never been to therapy. Like I had to go to therapy when I started seeing the ghost, right, of my great grandfather, my
paranormal stuff when you were a kid.
Yeah, my grandma was like, no, this is mental. She needs, yeah, to see somebody. And then, so I saw that therapist for probably a couple of years. And then when I was also young, and when my mom married my stepdad, there was a lot of problems between, uh-huh, him and I. Like, that was not a smooth transition.
Yeah.
And so we definitely went to family therapy for, mm-hmm, a while, but I hated it so much. I hated it. I did not,
oh, no,
want to do it. I did not want, it didn't make me feel good. It made me feel like they were forcing me to talk about things I didn't want to talk about or wasn't comfortable talking about.
That's so interesting that you say that, because this is a totally different thing. But when we get to the second half of this episode, that's part of why I was so uncomfortable in the moment and so uncomfortable watching back, is I felt like with this show, Kevin looked at me and said, okay, this girl is never emotional on camera. How do we get her to crack? And it's not like I think he was doing anything to make me crack in this episode, but I feel like it happened a lot later, especially in the spinoff years. And I was so offended by it and so just upset about it. And like, you can't like force me to be my most vulnerable on camera and share stuff I'm not ready to share, or even share stuff about other people, which I thought was really cruel that he expected me to do. So yeah, that's interesting parallel.
Yeah.
Being forced to talk about your emotions or how you feel before you're ready is like a really bad feeling, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, like when I was in my 20s, like at the mansion and stuff, or even right before, when I would get into these like really like morbidly depressed times, I think a lot of it is because inside, like my subconscious knows I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. It's like when you feel that calling.
Oh my God.
Which I know we've talked about the calling before on here. And if you haven't heard that, I kind of compare it to, if you've seen Frozen 2, it starts out with Elsa and she's like the queen of Arendelle, but she keeps hearing this weird voice singing that nobody else can hear, that's like out there. And it's like calling her to go do something and she can't ignore it. And I feel like that gets triggered in me like through depression. And when I was younger, it would hit me and I'd just be like, oh my God, I'm so depressed, I just want to die. And it would take a while for me. Like now, if I'm feeling that way, I kind of know the drill now and I can like, okay, what's causing this? What triggered me? What's doing it? Because I've done a lot of work and I can like get to what it is. But before, I was just kind of clueless and thought I was like so miserable and my life sucked so bad and I just want to die and blah, blah, blah. But looking back and after figuring it out all these years, it was usually because I just wasn't going in the direction that I was meant to go. And I wasn't pursuing what I was meant to pursue.
It's so crazy.
Or being held back or something.
Yes. Yes. I have that feeling. I don't associate it with depression at all, but I do. It is a feeling for me of almost like I'm drowning, yes, or anxiety of some sort. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night going, fuck, I'm supposed to be doing something and I'm not doing it. Like, but sometimes I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it's freaking me out. And I was just describing this to Nick the other day, because like I said, he's helping me with my book and stuff. Uh-huh. And I was talking about that part and I was talking about what pushed me to come to LA. And it was because I was having those feelings, yes, all the time. And I've had them since too, like after the mansion and everything. And he's like, I think that's normal. I think everybody gets that. And I'm like, do they though? Because I don't think everybody does.
I don't think they do, especially to that extreme.
I'm positive they don't, because I've asked my mom about it. And my mom's like content in Lodi, yeah, and like, you know, being married and having kids, yeah, and that being her life and kind of that kind of thing. And she's like, I don't really have that.
Yeah.
So I think if you're content and you feel like you're on your right track and you've done what you wanted to do it in life, then you don't have it. But I think that if you feel like you have more potential or there's something else you need to be doing, then you get that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to not understand it. And I used to get it like an attack. And especially when I think about
it is an attack.
It's an attack. And there were a couple times, especially in the early days at the mansion and right before I left, where I was super fucking depressed. And one of the big times that stands out is right before we started filming Girls Next Door. I remember I would sit at my desk in the vanity and be working on my computer or stuff and just feel like I wanted to fall to the floor from just mental exhaustion and,
yeah,
misery. And I remember I talked to Hef about it. And it was when he told me I couldn't go see it.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. minutes. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Powers fitness performance and recovery and confers powerful anti-aging benefits. Armor Colostrum is premium bovine colostrum concentrate, and unlike any other products on the market, it is uniquely optimized for human health, sustainable, and was developed with the highest integrity from start to finish.
We worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmor.com/next level or enter next level to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/next level.
Well, it was our whole life. It was our whole focus. It was all about the Mean Girls, because that was the number one thing that was happening. Like, despite what was happening with Hef, and despite what was happening as far as rules and that kind of stuff, and our careers or lack of it, the pressing thing every day, the stressful thing every day, was having to deal with the Mean Girls.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that is what allowed me to overlook a lot of the really toxic things in the relationship, is I was so distracted by that battle.
Yeah.
And of course, that worked to his favor, which is probably why he wanted to, you know, stoke the fires and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like you ignore the things you don't like in the relationship, and like he becomes the savior when the enemy is the other girls.
Right. But going back to the calling thing, I think it's a good thing. Like, it sucks when you're having it, because I would just get on my computer. This is going to sound so dumb, but I would just open up my computer when I was having it really bad, and I would stare at my computer, and I would like just try and type stuff into Google. I didn't even know what I was typing. I just wanted it to give me an answer.
Interesting.
And I told Nick, I feel like when I open up my computer that I'm going to find the answer I'm looking for, and it's never fucking here. And I keep thinking like, this is the only hope I have. Maybe I'll ask Google, what is my calling? What am I supposed to be doing?
Yes. And it's frustrating too when you feel the calling, but you don't know exactly where it's pushing you.
Yes.
I kind of ask myself, like, I don't feel, because I feel like there's a lot, so many satisfying things in my life now, I don't feel like the calling as strong as I did like when I was in my 20s. But sometimes I'll get like a little nudge sometimes and be like, okay, but what's the bigger thing? Like, yeah, the podcast is great and it's fun and the true crime shows are great and they're fun, but I think there's something bigger.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. And it freaks me out that I can't figure out what it is.
I feel that too.
I did kind of have an epiphany, and I feel dumb saying this in case I end up never doing anything with it, but I kind of had an epiphany that maybe it has something to do with being some kind of like free speech advocate. I think it has to do with like everything we've been doing with recent episodes on the Patreon and on this podcast, where we have things to say, and maybe we are afraid that like, oh, well, if somebody's like a frivolous lawsuit person and wants to be a dick and like legally bully us, they might do that. But I just feel like I need to dig my heels in and like stand up for people's ability to speak their minds, you know?
I was just giggling because wouldn't that be it? interesting turn of events if all of a sudden you were the president of the HMH Foundation.
I don't want to do that.
Freedom of speech. Yeah.
No, not at all. But I think there's something else out there.
Yeah.
But I kind of do feel like that's a part of it too, is I think a person, not me obviously, but a person who does care about the right to free speech should be the president of that.
Yeah.
Not me, but somebody else. And like, I want to be supportive however I can be.
Right.
You know? And I kind of just look back at my whole life and I feel like looking at it through that lens, it's almost like everything I've been through has kind of like prepared me for that. Like, I feel like I've been through the fire in a way that was traumatic for me, having people like in the early days of Girls Next Door, like every mean girl coming out of the woodwork and jumping online or writing books and just saying the worst shit you can possibly say about somebody. And I have to sit back and take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or even spreading lies and you don't know. So like, I've been on that side. I've been on that side of wishing people would shut up, but yeah, you know, you can't deal with it. I've been on the side of saying my things, even though other people haven't agreed with it. And it's just, I don't know. I just feel like everything's kind of leading to that. And it'll just be interesting. And again, I feel dumb saying it because like maybe a year from now, I'll have done nothing in that arena. And people will be like, oh, you were talking a big talk back then, but what have you done? So I don't know. But I just feel like there's something out there. I feel like that's like a clue to where it's going.
And for people who might not know what we mean, like when you're getting this calling, sometimes you have to try out different things because yeah, you're not sure what it is. So you're like, maybe it's this. So then you start focusing on that thing. And then it might come to you that this isn't exactly what it is. But I had to pursue it a little bit to find mm-hmm. it out, you know, so totally. I feel like it's really hard.
Yeah. And things lead to other things, too. Like, I remember being bored in quarantine and like on the days that weren't my days with the kids, I was like, what do I do in my house all day? And I just had this nudge to like start a TikTok and start a YouTube. And I feel like that directly led to the podcast. So you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So that was a long intro.
But back to this episode.
Yes, this episode is called Age of Aquarium. This episode aired on October 29th, 2006. Halloween-y.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't put Girls Will Be Ghouls after Age of Aquarium, because that would have been the one, I think, to run right at Halloween.
Yeah.
That's strange. I wonder why. Maybe because I think it's because E was like the queen of reruns. Maybe they wanted a chance to like blast Girls Will Be Ghouls before Halloween. Give
maybe
the full week to blast.
Maybe,
that
yeah,
makes sense. Because E, back in the day, I know we've mentioned it before, but like we would be on Sunday nights and then on 24/7 the rest of the week.
Like this kind of like Ridiculousness is now on MTV.
Absolutely. That's a really great comparison.
It's the only show they have, I think.
Yeah, because back then E would have two new shows at a time. They would both air on Sunday nights and then they would rerun the fuck out of it. But I feel like when Girls Next Door was on top, that was the show that got rerun the fuck. Like maybe you saw Sunset Tan or whatever else was on there a few times, but it was like Girls Next Door 24/7.
Yeah.
The top song was Moneymaker by Ludacris featuring Pharrell. The top movie during the Halloween season of 2006 was Saw 3.
Ooh.
How many Saw movies have there been now?
I have no idea. A lot.
I think at least 10, right? Because Saw X, like Saw 10.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's one kind of horror movie. Like Zach and I were trying to pick a horror movie and I told him like, that's the one kind of horror movie I don't like is torture porn.
Oh.
I don't know. Because I feel it viscerally when I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So the cold open of this episode is us going to the circus, which was actually filmed during season one. It was kind of like this leftover scene.
Yeah, I was like, oh, here's the circus. We shot this so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, we should have been talking about this last year.
Yeah. And if you guys remember, I remember there was an episode in season one that we talked about last year where in the background in your room on the window seat, there was this creepy white tiger mask. I was like, what the fuck is that? And then we figured out it came from the circus. So you see that mask in this scene.
Right.
And this is like a really cute, colorful scene. How did you feel about going to the circus back then?
You know what? I don't think back then I thought anything bad about it. Mm-hmm. The circus wasn't something that we did growing up very often. I feel like I maybe had been to the circus once in my whole childhood before that. But I mean, I'm just as happy with all human circuses.
Oh, yeah,
I don't need all the animals. That being said, we did have some pretty special animal moments in this that don't even make it to camera that we'll talk about.
Yeah, I love interacting with animals, but of course, you know, there's talk about how animals in the circus are treated. And I remember when we went feeling very conflicted, because I don't know if I had shot my full, like, I don't wear fur PETA ad at that point, but I'd done some stuff with PETA. And I was always, when I was asked to do that, I was always very upfront with them. Like, I'm not your perfect vegan. I'm not a vegan. I have leather seats in my car, all the things, but I'm totally not into like real fur. So I'm willing to do that. And this was during a time in the early 2000s when like even mall stores like BB were starting to introduce real fur again into their stuff. And I thought, what? Why is this okay? Because it used to be in like in the 90s in culture, it was like no fur, no fur, no fur, fur bad. And then in the 2000s in like basic mall stores, you're getting like real fur again. And I'm like, why is this okay?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't we as a society kind of be past fur, like step in the right direction? But also, like, even though I was very transparent, like I'm not like their idea of like a perfect vegan or whatever, I still felt a little weird going to the circus just because like I'd done that stuff with PETA.
I don't even know how the zoo became a thing. The circus became a thing for us to go to, because I just don't feel like it would be Hef's thing, really. They must have like personally invited us or something.
Yeah, I think they did. And then he probably thought that would be cute for the show.
Yeah, because it wasn't anything that if we weren't filming the show, I don't think Hef would have been like, you know what? The circus is in town. We should go.
No, I think they invited us for sure. And they thought cute for the show. But Hef also likes to like interact with animals. And I think the retro-ness of a circus probably appeals to
him. That's kind of what I like about it too, the retro-ness of it.
I like the aesthetic of circus, especially dark circus.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
100%.
In my old house in Vegas, I decorated my ex-husband's office in that house to look like a creepy old circus.
Yes.
It's a tennis outfit. And I just got the cutest little white tennis dress and a tennis top and tennis skirt from Roan, and I'm loving it. The Course to Court collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/next level and use promo code next level to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/next level and use code next level. Roan, for every day, for every you, forever forward. And then they invited us all out to dance with the clowns. And we were supposed to do these dance steps with the clowns. And Hef didn't want to do it. So he just did his maraca dance.
Maracas. I thought something was really interesting here. So you say in an interview, when we go anywhere with Hef, it's VIP all the way. We get ringside seats and we get to meet the owner. And the owner comes up and says hello to us. And he passes out red noses, which I think is really cute. But did you notice anything in this scene?
No. What did I miss?
I look like I'm ready to cry.
I wonder why. Do you think you were?
I don't remember being upset at all. I look back on going to the circus fondly, and I thought it was fun. I thought us getting in those like teacup cars, which we're going to get into in a minute, was so fun. And like the experience we're going to talk about when we get to go back with the elephants and stuff was incredible. Mm-hmm. Like I look back on it and think it was just a really fun night. But there at that scene, like Hef is like shaking his hand and talking. You're like putting your nose on and look happy. Jillian looks downright giddy. And I'm sitting there like this, like I'm like trying to hold back tears.
That's weird, because when you said that, like I don't have any explicit memories of you being upset at that time, but it kind of like I felt like a nudge.
Yeah.
Was something going on behind the scenes? Like,
I don't know. The only other thing I can think of is, well, no, this is season one. So I don't know. Maybe it was right after like the shower scene that I got.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe you had just like just seen that issue and hadn't like addressed it.
Maybe.
Yeah. But you were trying to have a good time at the circus.
Right.
Because when you said that, it kind of brought a little flashback to me of me feeling like I had to like pull the weight a little bit more that day. Not in a bad way, but like I need to be a little more outgoing and cheerful because the mood needs to be like covered up right now. And we just need to get through the scene kind of.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wish I could remember, but I look
sad. Oh like I gosh, shouldn't be there.
So interesting.
But then it changes and then I look fine after that. So I must snap out of it. Yeah. But in that scene right there, I was like, holy shit. And I watched it 3 times now. And I was like, no, something's wrong. Something
is so
wrong.
Interesting.
I'm curious if anybody else notices it. And I thought this was really funny. We're on the car and Kendra says, I think you're the highlight of the circus, honey. And Hess says, well, they love the freaks. But I just thought that was such a quick Hess comeback.
That's so funny. Speaking of freaks, have you ever seen the 1930s movie called Freaks?
Well, didn't we watch it at the mansion once?
I think we did on an off day. I mean, I've watched it with Hef. I don't remember if it was like up in his room or downstairs or whatever. But we didn't watch it on a normal movie night. And this, I just have this weird memory in my head whenever I think of the movie Freaks. And this is just an example of kind of like the culty mentality that was at the mansion with some people. I'm not going to say who it was, but one of Hef's friends who was really into the movies one night at dinner was saying, oh, what about adding this movie on a Friday or Saturday, Freaks. And it's a movie about using all people who worked in a real circus sideshow in a movie. They were the actors. And it was like a movie about, there was some like dramatic plot line in the circus, you know, it's called Freaks.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting movie because they actually hired real people from circus. And Hef was like, no, I don't think so. Like he wasn't like really putting him down or anything. Just no, I didn't think so. But I hadn't seen this movie at the time and I thought it sounded really interesting. So the next day at buffet, I said to that person, I'd love to see that movie. I wish Hef would add it like you suggested. And he goes, he looked at me dead ass in the eye and said, I would never suggest that movie. You guys, the day before, I was sitting there at the table while he had all this like memorabilia from it, like picture, old still pictures and stuff like that. And was like, you should really add this to the Friday or Saturday night movie. And Hef was like, no, I don't think so. And it's not because Hef didn't like the movie. Like he and I watched it. He thought it was interesting. I just think he only had a couple hundred movies he added to that roster. I guess he just didn't think it was quality enough or something. I don't know. But I was there one day when I fully saw in front of my own sober eyes, this guy say, oh, you should add this movie to the list. And after Hef shot it down the next day, he looked at me and tried to gaslight me into thinking he would never suggest that movie. But it was because Hef didn't like it. So now all of a sudden he doesn't like it and it's not an appropriate movie to show. And I was like, are we okay?
Whoa.
So when I talk about like the mansion being culty, that's the kind of shit I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird.
In commentary, I talk about how there's a clown that wanted my shoes to the point that she came over and was like, kept trying to unbuckle them and take them right off my feet.
What is up with shoe thieves? First Elvira, now you.
Yeah. I don't know, but I don't actually, well, I sort of remember it happening. I remember somebody doing stuff with my feet and me being like, trying to like, oh no, like stop. And you know, they're joking, but like, how far were they going to go with that? Like she was literally unbuckling them and taking them off my feet.
Weird. So after the cold open, they cut to some horrific footage of us getting ready really early in the morning.
Yeah, which
the worst, like we always complain about these scenes because it's like your bathroom with the overhead lighting.
Horrible.
And
it's really old footage. It's not even from this day.
Yeah.
And it's not morning that we're even doing this because we're going to Loveline, which is really late at night.
Yeah, it was weird. I'm at my desk in the Bambi signing headshots, which I never minded doing. I like doing it, but I think we've mentioned before, signing headshots was never ending. We just had to, we were always given these stacks of headshots. Can you sign this many for these people or this many? It was like constant.
And we all had to sign them. So we all had to wait for each other. So like,
yeah, we Holly had to pass to do the thing. It would be a group picture and I had to do it, then pass them to you, then pass them to Kendra.
And Kendra had to be last because we couldn't rely on her to ever get them done.
Yeah, totally. I love the little juicy outfit I'm wearing. It's a cute like terry cloth short set and zip up white terry cloth hoodie.
That's so crazy that you said that because I have in my notes, I love the juicy tracksuit that I'm wearing in the bathroom. And that's that aqua kind of color.
I know. I wish we could do a capsule with them, which is like bring back all our favorite shit from back then.
Yeah, I do
like
too.
Like the pink ruffle dress and stuff like that. That'd be so fun.
Yes.
So I feel like if I'm a viewer watching this show, I would think it's early morning.
Right.
But it's at night. And was it like when Hef was doing card night?
No, it's really late at night. So Hef would have like, I mean, been going to bed, but stayed up for us because I think we have to get there at like 11 o'clock at night or something like that.
I'm surprised I was allowed to go.
Yeah. Well, because the show was filming it probably. But I do think it's interesting too, because you get up and you reach into the cupboard that's above the vanity.
Oh yeah. Instead of the alleged window that was above the vanity. If you listen to our Patreon, you know, you know. And I remember on our way to Loveline was the first time I ever tried a pumpkin spice latte, because they were kind of new at that point.
Oh, really?
And even though I'm the most basic bitch fall ho on the planet who loves a leaf and a apple crisp and a witch outfit, I don't like a pumpkin spice latte. I thought it tasted like barf.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't like, I think partly because it was like a hot one too, and I'm not really into like the hot flavored drinks.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking it was so gross. And we drove to Loveline. Did you ever used to listen to Loveline?
No.
I did when I was like in high school and college, and I would have these jobs in the summer, like work at the Doc Martens warehouse or something, and have to drive home late at night. And I would always listen to Loveline. And I remember there was a story about how this guy was crawling under his house and a raccoon bit his penis. And Dr. Drew chimed in like, yeah, well, that's what raccoons do. They're trained to go for the penis. And I'm like, what the fuck? Fun fact.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
In interview, you say tonight the girls and I get to go to do the show Loveline, and they show the K-Rock sign, and we go in the recording studio and we meet Dr. Drew and Stryker, who are the hosts of the show.
Yeah. Dr. Drew's, I mean, you guys know who Dr. Drew is. He's like older doctor, and Stryker was like a younger.
Is the show still on?
I don't think it is. Like, Dr. Drew still does a lot of stuff. Like, he has a podcast and I see him everywhere, but
yeah,
I don't think Loveline is still a thing.
In interview, you say Loveline is a radio show where listeners can call in and ask Dr. Drew, one of the hosts who is a doctor, about any of their relationship problems. And then there's another host named Stryker, and he's the goofy guy.
You know what's so funny is years later, I was talking to Stryker and he said, I think he's joking, but he said, I was so offended because you were talking about how hot Dr. Drew is and I was just the goofy guy. But he was wearing this really...
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tired of scrolling through endless sitter profiles on other sites only to get ghosted? For over 20 years, Sitter City has been the go-to resource for parents who want a more personalized, reliable way to find trustworthy sitters and nannies. While other sites flood you with options, Sitter City focuses on bringing you high-quality matches that are the right fit for your family every time. With SitterCity.com, you can find full-time, part-time, or occasional care that meets your specific needs. Every caregiver is ID verified and profiles include real parent reviews, background checks, and specialized experience, so you can spend less time searching and more time doing what matters most, spending time with your family. And did you know that many employers include Sitter City as part of their benefits package? In a few clicks, find out if you can get Sitter City free. Getting started has never been easier. Take the guesswork out of finding care so you can breathe easier knowing your kids are in good hands. Visit SitterCity.com today to get the care you need.
And it was so much easier to throw like 7 packs of the Care of vitamins in my bag rather than sitting there counting out each of my magnesium and other supplements and putting them into the Ziploc bags and arranging them and labeling them. This was much easier.
For 50% off your first Care of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter code NEXTLEVEL50. That's takecareof.com and enter code NEXTLEVEL50 for 50% off your first Care of subscription order.
And then I say something strange next, right?
Well, you said, well, there's only two, so I don't know what to...
But I say, you can go with the space guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that meant.
Because... Me either. I don't remember what that meant. But years later, like you haven't even met him yet, but years later you would meet your now fiance, who's like the son of one of the original astronauts.
Right.
So that's just weird that I say the space... But who the fuck was the space guy?
I don't know. Like, I have to re-listen to it again, even though I've already listened to the commentary twice. I feel like I need to listen to it again and be like, am I hearing this wrong?
I don't know if there will be any more clues. I think sometimes just these private jokes like slip through the cracks, which I hate because I feel like usually my memory's so fucking good. So anytime something comes up that I'm like, what was that? It bothers me.
Yeah. I mean, Kendra says I can join her and Stryker.
Three-way.
But yeah, who is the space guy?
So you know what I noticed watching it this time, which I never noticed before when I've seen this episode, but they're setting it up where I'm talking in confessional about how cute I think Dr. Drew is. And then next thing you know, they cut to Kendra saying, oh, like my throat's scratching. Dr. Drew's like, do you want me to look at your throat? And I do you feel like they're trying to make it look like I'm all into Dr. Drew, but he's all into Kendra?
Oh,
that never occurred to me before when I watched this. But watching it this time, now that I'm so aware of the choices that the editors make are all for a reason, I'm like, I think they're trying to make it look like I'm super into Dr. Drew, but he really wants Kendra.
That is interesting. I would have to watch it again because I did not pick that up at all watching this. What I thought they were going for is that Kendra was like, oh, yeah, I have a sore throat. And he's like, want me to look at your throat? And I thought what they were trying to say is she doesn't realize that he's a real doctor.
Oh, no, they were trying to say that. But I also think they were trying to cut from me being like, oh, fawning over Dr. Drew. And he's like, do you want me to look down your throat? Kind of a...
I wonder.
I really feel like they were trying to do that. And then they get to a question. They ask us, does penis size matter? And it's very cute because we all three have very different answers. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
We totally do. And of course, I'm the Libra and I'm like, well, you know.
I'm like, it doesn't matter. You just have to be in love. Kendra's like, I don't want to be a small dick. And you're like, I don't know.
I'm like, well, it could be this big or this big, but not like this. And then the whole thing.
Very Three Bears.
Was it weird to you that when Kendra was complaining about her sore throat, that maybe I'm just like post-COVID and I'm like, ooh, cooties, but I'm like, why did she go then? Like, if you're sick and you have a bad sore throat, like, why are you there?
I feel like it's just that was the mansion and we didn't take a sick day unless we were on death's door.
Yeah. I think it's just me looking back on it now thinking that. Like, stay home. I don't want the cooties.
So then the next scene I have in my notes, a very slow and depressing scene with Hef and I. And I'm giving the camera the recap on our relationship. And one thing I say that it was true is I don't think he feels like he needs to surround himself with an army of 8 girlfriends anymore. And I feel like that was true. I feel like we did a very good job curating an environment where he felt like he was still surrounded by like fun and excitement and beautiful women, but he didn't need to like feel like he had to have this army, like literal armor of 8 girlfriends everywhere he went. You know what I mean?
Right.
I do feel like it was like that when he was doing the 7 girlfriends thing. I think he felt like in order to be relevant and get attention when he left the house, he had to be surrounded by this fucking gaggle of women. And I feel like it took a lot for him in his own like personal security to knock it down to 3. And I know that sounds fucking bizarre, like knock it down to just 3 girlfriends. But I do feel like that. Like, I feel like that was kind of like a big ego hit for him to like feel like he could downsize.
Oh, I think we talked about that extensively while we were there. Mm-hmm. We were like, we have to like convince him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we really wanted a whole bunch of other girls to be around, totally platonic, but just to be around so that he always felt like he was surrounded, but didn't need like necessarily more girlfriends.
Totally. And then it cuts to a scene, because I'm talking about our anniversary, but it cuts to a scene of me and you giving Hef thank you cards right after our Europe trip.
In interview, you say that you think that you've allowed him to be more of himself and that way he doesn't have to surround himself with the 8 girls, like an armor of 8 girlfriends, and that he can hang out with people that he just truly enjoys their company. And I feel like this was so on point, especially after reading Crystal's book. Like, I feel like the contrast of what she was saying in their relationship versus what our and especially your relationship was like with them. And then at this point, there were no other girls involved, really.
Yeah.
And just the contrast, I'm like, it was so different for you and him than it was even for her.
Yeah, it was interesting because she talks in her book about how even into their marriage, she was like constantly bringing other girls up into the bedroom.
Yeah.
And obviously, I didn't do that. That was never anything I wanted. But I do feel like we got to a point where he felt secure enough to where it's like, okay, I have 3 girlfriends. Only one of them I'm active with anymore, really.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was really feeling for him like on top of the world. And I'll get to it more in this episode too, because he's in such a great mood this whole fucking episode. And it's just evidence that like, I don't know, I felt like felt like he was in a good place. Because I feel like, obviously, like if you're a dude, you think, oh, well, who wouldn't want to have like so many girlfriends to have sex with or whatever? Okay, yeah, there's that. But I also feel like for Hef, it was such an insecurity thing and an image thing. And he's finally getting to a place where he's like, oh, maybe I don't need that.
No, I think he felt solid. And it seemed, I mean, I know now going back and looking at it, it might be different, but it seemed very happy at that time. It seemed solid and it seemed happy.
For him.
Yeah. And then I say, as in an interview, I say, as long as Hef and Holly are still happy with me being here, I plan on being a part of this and his life. And then Kendra says, seeing Hef and Holly having their 5-year anniversary makes me want a 5-year anniversary too.
You know what I think is interesting about that is when I watch her saying that, I think that just means like, oh, she thinks it's cute. And one day she wants a 5-year anniversary with somebody. But I think they put that in there because they want people to think Kendra's really desperate to stick it out for a 5-year anniversary with Hef. And Holly just has to
manage that frizzy hair. It makes it shinier, healthier, and way more manageable.
I'm loving Prose too. The shampoo smells so good. I use it every time I wash my hair. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/next level. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/next level. That's P-R-O. SE.com/next level.
And then it shows you guys in the office and you say, let's talk about what my engagement ring would look like. Had you ever talked to him about an engagement ring or was this just kind of for, because I'd never actually heard you talk about like an engagement ring or it would look like or your dream ring, or I never saw you like have rings picked out or be hinting or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. I just thought it was a funny joke because the running joke, especially on camera, is that I want to get married and he doesn't. But you can see in this interaction, like Hef thinks it's a funny joke too, and he plays along with it.
Yeah.
And it's just more evidence that he thought it was funny too, and he didn't think it was an awful thing, because I feel like so many of the mean girls and Kendra have like dragged me publicly over the years, like, she wanted to get married. Like, it's this horrible, awful, evil, plotting, manipulative thing I wanted to do.
Right.
It's like, he thought the joke was funny too.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can see it right on camera.
So the next scene, you're walking out to the zoo.
Yeah, we are going to go see Coco. And I made this note. I say, isn't it kind of depressing that the only recourse they have to show real connection with us is with the animals? And I don't think that's entirely true in the show. Like, obviously, you see a very strong bond between like you and your family. But I feel like that's what they always have to go back to. Like, anytime there's like a theme episode about family or motherhood or true love, it's not really there between the people. So you have to show it with the animals. And at first, as we're rewatching this, I thought, oh, that's cute. That's a cute parallel. Like, obviously, none of us are moms now, so they show us mothering our dogs. But then you're getting to this point where they're like, is an actual relationship happening, but the only recourse they have to show real connection is like the animals.
Interesting.
I just feel like that's kind of sad and depressing.
I didn't look at it that way. I didn't even notice it being like that, but that's really interesting.
Oh, backtracking a little bit to people dragging me for like wanting to get married. I wanted to talk about something. It's another troll thing online that I've been getting a lot of that I notice is like just people blaming women for situations. And it started with a couple comments I was getting on reels we made of our Sarah Underwood interview. Because Sarah was talking about her Playmate pictorial and how when she posed, she was, how old was she? 20, 21?
College age. 21, I think.
Yeah, but she looked a little bit younger. And she was like, now looking back, you know, I'm paraphrasing her, but she was like, now looking back, like I was in a little girl's bedroom and I was holding a teddy bear and, you know, that's kind of questionable, whatever. But then there's people in the comments, other women who are like, I can't believe these women would pose for pictures like that. Don't they know the signs of a pedophile? What are these women doing? Okay, first of all.
Yeah.
In Sarah's defense, when she says little girl's room, she doesn't mean a pink painted nursery with blocks in the middle. She means like a teenage girl's country bed. Like, it probably looked like what Sarah's bedroom at her parents' house still looked like when she was in college, you know, like realistic. Yeah. That's what she means by little girl's bedroom. Having a model who looks a lot younger than her years, cuddling with a big teddy bear, is that a little bit questionable? I definitely look back on that and think that now. Like, that definitely was not a type of scene I was directing when I was at the studio. And even at the time, I remember like Steve's crew, like once I started working there, like Steve's crew and his assistants, we were talking about that kind of stuff. And one of them was like, yeah, when did we start shooting all this daddy porn? Like, they weren't into it. You know what I mean? But I have to say, like, when you're a young woman, like a college age or in your early 20s, young woman, you don't really see stuff like that much, or you don't realize how young you look. I always say every girl at age 19 thinks they're a bad bitch, thinks they're a big adult who can handle anything. At least I did. And then you look back and you realize, fuck no. And you look back at people who are that age now and you think those people look like babies. And the older people can see it. The Hef and the older editors at Playboy, they can see it. But when you're the 22-year-old, you don't see it. Yeah. This is not Sarah's fault, you guys. So anybody who thought that, fuck right off. And how about placing the blame on the person who said, we need a teddy bear in this shot, or the person who's approving the photos or thinking, yeah, this is the concept to go with.
Right.
How about not blaming the women? Like, go fuck right off.
Well, when you're getting the opportunity to post for Playboy, you don't want to be like, you're never going to be like, I'm not going to pose in this set.
Nobody is, because Playboy picks these like young women who have no experience. Rarely you get an experienced model. You think this is a huge opportunity. They know how to make me look amazing like the other women. They know how to make me look beautiful. You just go along with it. Like, even when I was working at the studio, I would always look at the girls' data sheets and like what they wrote down and try and like devise the theme off of like stuff they contributed. Or every once in a while, I ask them, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But very rarely did I have somebody come in who was like assertive enough to be like off the that, like, oh, I don't want to do this type of pose, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that. Like,
because then they're immediately difficult to work with and you don't want them anymore.
Like, yeah. Like,
you know, that's the vibe you give.
Yeah. When you're getting your first opportunity, you just kind of show up and you're like, okay, great.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like my chest stuff. Like, I didn't think it fit my personality at all. I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
I didn't say a word till like now. Yeah. I don't even think I said a word while I was at the mansion about it. Like, now I'm talking about it, but I never would have said anything back then.
Yes.
Ever, ever.
Well, I wish I had it pulled up right now so I could see exactly what they said. But I'm like, are you so fucking for real right now?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm just over it. And it's always other women doing this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, men make stupid comments in the comment section too. But I'm just like, get a fucking grip. Get a life. Look back on where your head was at when you were 22.
Yeah.
Jesus. But so that was my rant.
One thing I do want to say, and I know there's a line, but like one of the things that I did love about Playboy was that a lot of times it was very girly and pink and young and innocent looking, like the layouts. So you didn't feel like sleazy and gross and like, this is sex. You felt like, oh, you caught me in my bedroom and this is just me hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel like, I know there's a line when
but
you have like
that you like the innocent stuff. None of that is like CP. You know what I mean?
Right. But I'm just saying there is a line somewhere in there where like I get where people think that that's like crossing a line maybe to some people. But then at the same time, you're walking that line of wanting to like be innocent and
but
sweet.
Also, I think when someone looks like a mature woman and you're in a pink bedroom, like you had a pink bedroom on the show. That's your real bedroom.
Yeah.
But like you're a mature woman with a mature body, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's like people get creeped out when it's the models that look a lot younger than they are. And then let's put a giant teddy bear in here. That's a little like, oh, what are you into?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So this is really cute footage of Coco in the cage. I love that we have all this footage.
Yeah.
Even though I hate this episode, there's certain things in it that I think are important and that I'm glad are documented. One, Coco. Two, we'll see it later in the second half of this episode, but you get to see the aviary to a great extent,
yes.
Which I just love that that's documented because I thought that was a really cool part of the property that doesn't exist anymore. They knocked it down. And also like the footage of like Hef joking back at me about the engagement ring, like that shows our rapport and our sense of humor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of evidence in this episode of like Hef being really happy.
Yes.
And I just think that's important.
Because he really, truly was so happy at this time.
Yeah. And I forgot all about this, but the fact that you had an aunt who just happened to be a monkey expert. I feel like it's such a weird coincidence.
I forgot all about it too. The doorbell rings, yeah. Which nobody actually ever rang a doorbell, and the butler answers it, and my aunt walks in. And I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot my aunt was on the show.
Yeah, I had forgotten that too.
Did we have permission to go out into Coco's cage? Because we talk about in commentary how did the animal department ever say anything to you? Did you get in trouble for us doing that as if we weren't supposed to go in her cage?
It must have been locked. So not just anybody could go in there. So where did I get the key if I wasn't allowed? Did I just grab it from security and then didn't get?
I don't know. Because we definitely have the key because Coco's playing with it.
Yeah.
But like me, you, Hef, my Aunt Jane, camera crew, everybody's in there.
Yeah, I think animal department was probably freaked out because I think they want to be on hand if something like that's happening because monkeys, you know, can hurt people.
Right.
They really can.
So yeah, let me just tell you a little bit about my aunt for those that don't know. She grew up in Lodi, which Northern California, where I grew up, and they have a zoo there. At Mickey's Grove, and she used to be in charge of the monkeys or do something in that department with the monkeys. And a lot of times she would have to take home like little baby monkeys and raise them and feed them at home and that kind of thing. I just remember going to visit her and there would always be like a monkey around. Aww. And
do you remember what kind of monkey she had?
No, I was too young
to
know.
Capuchins?
Probably.
Yeah.
And then, she worked in affiliation with the Lodi Zoo there. So that's why she knows so much about monkeys. And so I had told her about what you were doing and everything. And she was like so interested in everything.
Yeah.
Then when you were trying to like build this rapport with her and everything, I was like, can you come over? And it's good for the show too.
Yeah.
Like,
I loved it that you invited her over. I was so excited when you told me that because I just wanted to learn everything I could about these animals. And of course, the zoo department's knowledgeable, but just anything I could learn.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that they focus a lot. And I think this is coming from Kevin because I think he kind of has a fetish for this. They're focusing a lot on your aunt saying she's terribly overweight. About Coco. She's terribly overweight. Because I think Kevin just has such a fixation on that kind of thing. But just so you guys know, the reason Coco was terribly overweight is Coco and her brother Pepe were rescues because they were pets and they were owned by people who weren't taking care of them. And Coco was just fed junk food, just nothing but junk food. And she was never really able to get that weight off. So that's why she has that giant pot belly. Like spider monkeys generally are not shaped like that. They're very skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why.
My
body shamed.
I know. My heart melted though when she came over and sat on my lap. I was like,
I can feel that viscerally. Like when I see the footage with Coco, I can feel like what her hair felt like when I pet her, the weight of her when she sat in my lap.
Yes.
Like, ugh. And then Hef comes out and joins us in the monkey cage, which he loved the animals, loved interacting with the animals. But I think the fact that he took time out of his day to go down there and meet with your aunt and do that little visitation inside the cage really shows how into the show he was at that time and how he wanted to be part of every scene possible and how just like happy he was and excited about life. Because I feel like typically if it would have been like an ordinary weekday and I was like, come down to Coco's cage, you'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
Like maybe he would have done it on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But you had to pull him away from the backgammon. So.
Yeah. And I don't remember any other time when he actually went into the cage. Like I could be wrong, but.
Yeah. And then Jane is talking about how we should get her another female that would get along perfectly and that they are a matriarchal society and the group leader is always a female. And I feel like that was something Kevin was really trying to like highlight too.
Totally, yeah. And then this is kind of sad because in voiceover, I'm saying that I feel like my time matters more with Coco because I feel like she appreciates my presence more. And because she doesn't get a lot of one-on-one interaction, it makes a difference in her life. And I feel like I'm 24/7 with Hef, but I feel like it doesn't matter. You know, I feel like I'm just replaceable. And what am I spending all this time doing? You know, and I feel like that's sad.
It's interesting, too, because I didn't feel that way about you your role with Hef at that time. I didn't see it that way. So
I can see that from an outsider's perspective, but he always made me feel like I was so replaceable. Who gives a shit? Totally codependent and needs me by his side all the time, but also who gives a shit? Another one could come. Like that's how I felt, you know?
See, I didn't see it. I mean, I know that you felt that way because you confided in me in it and stuff, but I didn't see it that way. Like, I felt like you were the one. Like, there was like no question to me that Hef felt like you were the one. And it, and the only reason that it wasn't happening yet was because he was still legally married and he had like some binding thing about until the kids were 18 or something. I don't know what that was all about, but...
Yeah, I feel like if he did feel that way, he made a very concerted effort to make me feel insecure and not special. And that was coming from his insecurity and always being afraid of like being left or being cheated on or being made to look a fool of. And I wasn't doing any of those things, but I feel like he made an effort to make me feel that way.
Yeah. And then Hef says he's going to put Coco in the magazine, Primate of the year.
That is so cute. I love when they make those little graphics.
I know, it's really cute. So the next scene, you're like going down into the office and you run into Bob the fish man.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that we had a fish guy. And when I say we have a fish guy, it's not like he was on Manchin staff, but like we had a go-to person for all the aquariums that were out there. Were the only aquariums the ones in the aviary? We didn't have aquariums anywhere else, did we?
No, but I think he did the pond too.
Oh, right, the koi pond.
The koi. That makes
sense. Because koi ponds need a lot of maintenance. And I was at a phase where I was getting Hef animals for gifts all the time because we had this shared love of animals. And it was something I felt like I could contribute by like adding to the zoo and stuff. Because before that, it was all just like getting him a picture of us or a picture of me. And then I got bored with that real fast. So I wanted to buy some new fish for the aviary because Hef was complaining that the fish in the tanks weren't colorful enough.
You know, when I was looking at him too, I was like, he's right. They aren't colorful. But why is that? But I think part of the reason is too, they needed to have more colorful coral in there as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the was coral was, tank. Yeah, the coral was very bland.
And I said I wanted like a Nemo and a Dory, of course, a clownfish and one of those blue fish. And that made me think about how one of the mean girls wrote a book that we were going over before we started the podcast. And she was talking about all the reasons she could never get along with us. But it was all like dumb, superficial shit. It wasn't anything about our character. It was just like, they like this and we like this. And they like, as if that means you can't get along with anybody. Like, we loved it that Kendra had other interests than us. Any tension we had with Kendra was other shit entirely. But one of her examples was, we wanted to watch 8 Mile. They wanted to watch Finding Nemo. And it's like, of course I love Disney. I do want to watch Finding Nemo. But I just thought that was such a weird example. And for some reason, it sent me. And now I'm like so team Finding Nemo.
That's funny.
And anytime I see Finding Nemo, I'm like, that's my shit.
Well, and I forget what she exactly compared it to, but she's like, they wanted to go to Disneyland and we wanted to shop at Versace or something like that. And I was like, well, who cares? Can't you do both?
Exactly. Like, it doesn't mean you can't get along with somebody. Give me a motherfucking break.
Yeah. And then I love this next thing.
Oh, the pajama fish? Yeah, he says there's this fish called a pajama fish. So it's like, we have to get that, of course, because Hef wears pajamas
every
day.
But the graphic. The graphic.
Oh, yeah, where they make the fish look like Hef.
The fish swims by in the aquarium wearing a smoking jacket and a captain's hat, and it has a pipe.
Yeah. And I love the calypso music they play in the background, which reminds me of the Jamaica episode, which is coming up in season 4, because they use a lot of that music.
So we're in the bird aviary, and I hope that everybody can like slow-mo this and look at it because it was incredible. It had these cute little like ponds where we had turtles in it. It had all these exotic birds in there. It was very like hot and steamy, like humid in there. So there was orchids growing and it was like a jungle cave.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Turtles crawling around.
Yeah. And they knocked the whole thing down to put in parking.
Wah, wah, wah.
And I know it was connected to security and kind of the guest house. Like you could kind of walk all the way through.
And that was still when Hef owned the property, right? This wasn't after Darren bought it.
No, this was after, like, not too long after we left, I don't think. A couple years, maybe.
Which I wonder who made that decision. I can't picture Hef making that decision. That alone makes me think he lost his ever-loving mind.
Well, I think it's because they sold the house across the street. So whenever that happened, I think that's when
I didn't realize they used Kimberly's house for parking.
Not Kimberly's house, the Playmate house.
Oh, Mapleton.
Yeah. I think when they sold that.
But that's even weird to me, too, because Hef only bought Mapleton in the early 2000s. So obviously they didn't need the parking that bad back then. They could park around the park or whatever.
That's true. But they relied on it heavily for once they had it for parking.
It's a strange decision. I do not I have a really hard time I know it's just my opinion, doesn't mean it's not fact, but I have such a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that he would make that decision.
I know.
That just makes me think he was not all there. And I'm obsessed with the cute puffer fish I'm interacting with in that tank. I love those cute puffer fish. They look like cute babies.
I love, too, how it shows the hornbills. And they're these, like, toucan-looking birds, but they're not as colorful as toucans. Uh-huh. And they have these massive beaks. And I remember loving when I took people on a tour and I'd pull out the grapes and I would hand feed the hornbill because they'd come up with this big ass beak and take it and people would be so afraid.
Oh no, you know what's so cool? Did you ever throw the grapes to them?
Yeah.
And they would catch them midair. It was so good.
And then you could see and they would hold it like right here.
Yes.
Until they were ready to eat it. They would just like keep collecting them.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot to record today and we've got to wrap this one up. Do we want to touch on the Eminem video scene just quickly?
Oh, sure.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but Kendra had this incident where she was hired to be in an Akon video that Eminem was in at one point. I think this was like right after she moved in, it seems like. And she came home and said that Eminem dumped water on her out of nowhere. And then she wrote a blog about it on MySpace and took it down. And then Eminem apologized and sent her flowers. And then it was in the news or something, or in Page Six, or I don't know where it was. But they're talking about that in the office. And then Hef comes out and he's laughing about Kendra's paragraph she wrote on MySpace. And I just think it's a great scene of Hef really getting a kick out of something. And he does it in a later scene with you in this episode too. And it's just another scene where he's just so happy in this episode.
Yeah. And I think it's a situation where he could have easily been the other way, been pissed at her that she drew negative attention and that, and now it's all out there in the press and stuff and we have to make a statement and everything. But instead he took it as this is cute and funny and
And it's just really totally tickled by it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. And next week is Memorial Day weekend. We always take that weekend off because people don't listen to podcasts that weekend.
Yeah.
I know there's going to be a lot of you out there like, but I do. But I swear to God, we look at the numbers. So when we do our deal over the year and we're like, we do 48 episodes, that's one of the weeks we take off. So we hope you guys have an amazing Memorial Day weekend and we will see you back next time with more Age of Aquarium and why I think this is the most embarrassing episode.
Ooh la la.
For more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. We are doing a fire book club right now. You don't want to miss it.
That's right.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye guys.
Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.